Hi guys, welcome to another interesting and exciting episode of the Sincerely Your Crowd podcast. So today I'm sitting with a woman that is, in her own ways, redefining what it means to be an African pop star. Okay? Yeah, can you guess? It's Amare.
Okay. How was that? Intro.
How was that?
It's cool.
You know, simple.
Yeah, simple, straight to the point. I love that.
I was going to ask you to do it, like do the intro, and I was like, okay, let me take a stab.
No, I like it. Yeah, I like it.
All right, bet. Yeah. Anyway, look, I just saw your Metal magazine cover.
Yes.
In the Balenciaga fur coat and the bob. Very Edna Mode.
Oh, yes. Yes. One of my inspos.
Yeah. So, like, what goes into, like, the styling for a cover? Are you involved or is, like, the magazine's like, we're going to put you in this?
I think it depends. Like, some stylists are super flexible and actually want to work with the artist. The stylist that I worked with on this, I can't remember her name. Do you remember her name? Starts with an M.
Look, check the Instagram.
Can you check it? Instagram. Because I don't want to be here. I don't remember her name. But she's super cool. And I've done Balenciaga for most of my covers. Mm. So I feel like she picked up on that and she was like, okay, this is the Balenciaga look and we have to put you in this. So with her, we collaborated a lot. And like when I got on set, she was really kind of open to like feedback, opinions. But some people don't want you to really give them feedback because they're like, oh, I'm the, you know, in-house stylist. This is our identity or
Really?
So it just depends. Some people can be super cool and some people can
be like...
How do
you deal with the people that are like very straight jacket, put you in, this is what you're going to wear?
Me too, I'm also straight jackets. So so if I won't wear it, you can't force me. So then we'll just be looking at each other. You know that PDD and... Oh,
yeah.
Never mind.
You know what? The Spider-Man one.
Yeah, not that one.
That's
that
not
one,
accurate. It's
you know, you
accurate.
Know when the one where they look at him?
Yeah, he goes like that. I mean,
like
you guys get the reference.
Yeah, I know.
Actually, you know what? Before I continue, I just want to give a quick shout out to my co-creator and producer, Mr. Kwame Asante, and the GCR Studios. I had to say that. Of course, today we're filming in Amare's mom's house.
Yeah, so...
She's very gracious to give us her space.
Yeah, there was lights off at my house, so unfortunately. I don't have a generator.
Which is very funny because Amare lives across. When I say across, it's like you can sneeze.
No, do you know, I have solar power. Okay. So, you know, I'm trying to be more, what's that thing called? Like,
earth conscious. Yeah, green
but
energy.
But the solar power, like, you can't turn on the AC, so it wouldn't, like, we wouldn't have enjoyed it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know, great. Thanks for the consideration.
Yeah, of course. My pleasure.
Yeah. You know that thing you said to the Associated Press about, like, how when you're on stage, you don't wear your glasses, so you don't really see, helps you with anxiety and all that? Same.
Yeah.
Like, a couple of years ago, we used to do a live show at Bloom Bar.
Mm-hmm. And, that was fun. Yeah, like, I remember that.
I would never wear my glasses.
Oh, why?
Because I don't want to see people's faces.
Okay, fair enough.
You know, because it's live and the performance anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. After doing this for years, like, do you still have anxiety when you go on stage?
No, I don't have anxiety per se, but like, you know, the fans can be really intense.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like sometimes when you're on stage, they themselves forget that they paid to see you perform.
Okay.
So it's like some of them really want you to connect or interact with them. There's people that are like trying to get your attention. There's people that's waving stuff at you. And like, I like to zero in when I perform.
Mm.
So if I can't see that, then I don't know what's going on out there in the crowd. And I can just focus on, okay, let me give you the best performance possible. But I feel like sometimes it's good to not be able to see the fans because the minute they lock eyes with you, some of them are instantly like, sign my vinyl, do this, do that. And I'm like, you guys, you paid to see a performance. So let's get this, you know, let's get the show on the road.
It's really the ones that have like their phone and they're like trying to get you in a selfie, right?
No, so do you know what? That one, that's low-key why I like not wearing my glasses because some of them will like have something on the phone and they want you to read it and it's song requests. And it's like, and sometimes they'll be like, can you play Fluid? I'm like, you people, like... No, this is the Black Star experience. Like, why are you asking me for Fluid?
Do you still get Fluid in this?
Yeah, I've had Fluid. I've had like some of the stuff from TAYDK. I've randomly had Catching a Wave before, which was like, whoa.
Oh, throwback. This is like a throwback. Like,
yeah.
You know, that way back fan.
Like, throwback.
Would you say Fluid is like your most requested song?
No, definitely not.
Definitely not.
I think... Most requested will be between Princess Going Digital for sure. Do you know I get a lot? Sauce Up.
Oh.
With Aminé and K-Tronada.
Okay.
And what else do I get a lot?
You know, Kobe, I think you worked with him for the movement for...
Kobe Brakwedu. I went to high school with Kobe Brakwedu.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, so he used to have a dance class and we did a dance to Princess Go Digital. I'll show it to you. My phone is not here.
Yeah, I want to see it. Yeah.
It was really nice. Yeah. Okay. So I just wanted to, just because your Ghanaianness is constantly being called into question, I just wanted to like paint a picture of what your upbringing in the different places you've lived in is like for the audience, right? So I know you left Ghana when you were 8.
Yes.
Where did you go?
Atlanta.
To do what?
My mom was getting her master's degree. So she moved us to ATL.
Okay. So you did what level of schooling there?
So at 8, if you are in America, I think you are in the third grade.
Class three.
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
So I did class 3 to class 5 in America. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In Atlanta.
Atlanta. And then I did 6th grade, form 1 to form 3.
Okay.
In New Jersey. And then I came to Ghana. And I did...
High school.
Yeah, high school. So form 3 all the way to upper 6.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then when did you leave again?
I went to college, in Atlanta.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, having all of these like different experiences, how did this shape you sonically?
I think like when you live in so many different places, you meet so many different people, right? And they all come from so many different walks of life. So it's like living in Atlanta, it was a very urban hip hop scene. And then I lived in Budd Lake, New Jersey, which is in, not even in Morristown. It's like off, kind of off the edge of Morristown. And if you know Morristown, no shade to anybody from Morristown, New Jersey watching. But it's just like, how do I say this? Let me choose my words carefully.
Take your time. Is it like dead? Like there's nothing there?
Yeah, it's... It's dead. Let's just say it's dead. But it's a different level of dead. Like in my school, I can count maybe my grade, we were 4 or 5 black people. In the whole school, we're like 20, 15,
Like 20. What was there to do for fun? I think that should be a great...
Like, literally nothing. They will go to... People will, like, walk around the mall. There was this, like, local annual fair called... I don't even remember what it was called.
So, basically, uninspiring.
Yeah. No, do you know what's so funny? I wouldn't call it uninspiring because I will say that is where I heard Britney Spears Blackout for the first time, top to bottom.
Okay.
I went to a party, like a house party. And the girl that was throwing it was a straight up Britney fan. So she didn't play anything or no Soulja Boy, no nothing.
She was giving you straight Britney up Britney. Straight.
And I was like, hey, that changed the trajectory of like what I thought about music. And it completely shifted, I think, what I now knew was capable in the landscape of pop. And like, shout out to Britney, but also shout out to Danger, who produced it, and Carrie Hilson, who wrote a vast majority of the album.
Can we talk about like the nuances of Blackout that like caused the shift? Because what did you think was possible prior to listening to that? And then what did you now think was even more possible?
Well, what I didn't think was possible was the combination of trance music and like super electronic music and synths kind of being integrated in pop and R&B in such a gritty way. I didn't think it was possible for a black woman to write those kinds of records. And even though Carrie Hilson didn't sing those records, she wrote all of them,
right?
And she has background vocals on a lot of them. And sometimes I think like, man, I wonder what it would have been like if Carrie Hilson would have released those records instead of like Britney. So I think even in that, there's a story in that, that it's like black creativity is so boundless, but sometimes in order for it to be accepted, it has to be, presented through a white face. And I think that that's what it taught me, was that was the boundlessness of black creativity, but also how electronic music could seamlessly fuse with R&B and pop. And I think Danger was such a big architect of that. And Carrie was incredible in understanding how to really melodically approach those records. And for me, I think seeing, I love Britney Spears, mind you, And I know she would know. And no, I know, mind no, you. No, mind you. And I know she was like a exec or co-exec. That was kind of the album where she was like, F everybody, I'm going to do my own thing. But I also think that Keri Hilson and Danger brought such a uniqueness and a special and a raw and gritty sound that no one expected Britney to take that
turn. How old were you?
13.
Emma, you had all of this enlightenment and insight and awareness at 13?
I don't know, but do you know something? Should I say something?
Say it.
Our generation, I feel like we're no shade to Gen Z or anything, but our Gen A. But our generation, I feel like when you were young, right? Me, my uncle, every Friday, Saturday, Sunday, spelling competition, grammar competition, math competition. So I feel like I was constantly being taught to think.
Right.
And understanding that learning is important. And also everyone around me loved music and loved different types of music since I was young. So I feel like my analytical and my critical mind has always been on. And I feel like for our generation of youth, education, especially Ghanaian youth, education was such a part of our upbringing that I think a lot of us were conscious in a way that most people our ages at a certain time were. And a lot of us are also DIY just because there's such a scarcity of like resource in Ghana that I think we all turn our minds on to think of how to achieve things that we want to achieve.
That's an interesting perspective I've never thought about before. Yeah. I'm going to like have to think of that. But you know, finding out that you like Red Hot Chili Peppers
right.
makes a lot of sense because there's a song on... Crazy World, right?
Yeah.
The first time I listened to the record and, you know, it gets to Crazy World because it's Sad Face. And then
yeah, Party Sad Face, yeah.
Crazy World starts. I'm like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah.
And then I was watching an interview and you keep talking about the lead singer.
Anthony Kiedis.
So I went and I looked it up and I was playing a couple of songs. In the beginning of Can't Stop, I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
When did you discover Red Hot Chili Peppers? And what do they do that makes you go,
My uncle, Nana Tewia, when I was young and I was living in Ghana, he had the Red Hot Chili Peppers CD, by the way, and he used to run that CD to the ground. So by proxy of just being around him, I heard the music and I just always was like, this is so incredible and this is so amazing. And it's like, it had records like, no, Californication was a different album, but it had records like, By the Way, the Zephyr song. And I just loved how kind of soft rock it was versus like this kind of like angsty
heavy metal.
Yeah. And the writing is also it's so sensitive and it's so insightful and it's just really well curated. And how do I say this? I think that can sometimes be such a gift from men, you know, just like a bit of a softness and a sensitivity in their music making that I think sometimes can be lacking, especially from rock stars.
Right.
So, yeah.
You currently have about like 5 million listenership on Spotify, right? Your album Black Star had 1.15 million in the first day.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, wow. Big guess for a Ghanaian female artist on Spotify.
That's nice.
Why are you acting like you're now finding out?
No, I'm actually
You are?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Then the rest of this question is moved. Because I'm gonna with all like these kind of like successes that's happening, what are the conversations you're having with yourself sounding like?
The conversation that I'm having with myself is like, okay, what are we going to do next to surprise ourselves?
Right.
Like, I don't really, let me say I'm grateful for the fact that I've been able to push my music and push the conversation and culture forward by being so experimental. But like the main thing that I care about is really enjoying myself as a musician. Like, so numbers and competition, like I don't really think about that because there's so many incredible artists that I learn from and grow from and discover every day who inspire me. So for me, I want to uplift that, you know? So the numbers thing to me is just, I think it's a byproduct of building a fan base, but ultimately I just care about making really fun, interesting, great music. And I care about enjoying myself while doing it.
Right. Right. I can see that. See that. So on August 8th, 2025,
the album dropped.
Yes. You gave us Black Star.
Yeah.
Highly anticipated, by the way.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the conversations around your artistry, like I said, is always like, how Ghanaian you are.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So you come out with an album, yeah. And then it's like, you, by the way, I thought you were wearing leather. I heard on Cocktails and Takeaway that was body paint.
Yeah, it was body paint and latex.
Yeah,
latex.
Right?
Is that what it's called? Latex.
Yeah,
the thing that stretches.
Yeah,
it's called latex.
I think it's latex.
It was body
a latex
paint.
Body suit.
Yeah, it was so no. It was latex pants, latex bandeau, and body. I got body painted from top to bottom.
Okay, so the top. Yeah, because the bottom half looked very like you were. It wasn't paint.
No, it was paint. I had on a panty.
And then
like
the
a
legs.
Latex panty, just to cover my papa.
Okay, so the legs are painted.
Yeah, so my legs were painted. Everything was painted.
Bad. Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So in the midst of everybody like challenging your Ghanaian-ness, you go with Black Star, you have this symbolism on the album cover. Right. And it's like I saw a lot of people expecting Ghanaian features, Ghanaian days.
Yeah.
I was trying to watch reviews of the project.
Yeah.
And there was one where this guy was just going on about, oh, like she for puts black hole, she for puts stone. Everybody had so much to say about it. And then you are calling your album Black Star.
Yeah.
What was the thought process around it? Because did you expect it? That people would...
Yes.
You expected it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
But like, do you know what the crazy thing is? People don't always know what goes on behind the scenes. And me, like, I don't like explaining. Because like, as Burna Boy said, you go explain. Do you get what I'm saying? RDJ has a verse on Free the Youth that didn't make it. Because we went back and forth on notes. And I was like, I love Ara, by the way. It didn't go where I needed it to go.
Wow.
I DM Shatawale like 50 times. Shatawale actually just responded my DM like 6 days ago.
What song did you want him on?
I wanted to do something completely new with him.
Oh, okay.
So I wanted to like actually, because I was coming to Ghana to shoot the visuals, I wanted to sit with him and be like, okay, if we take Shatawale and we take Amari, like where do we go with this?
Especially on a record like Black Star.
Yeah, but he didn't respond my DM. So like that one cost 90. And then I hit up Gafachi because Gafachi to me is like electro Azoto goat.
Yes.
But Gafachi and I, he wrote like 2 records for me and we were still just kind of going back and forth and we didn't get where we needed to go. I think if we would have worked one-on-one in person, that would have like made sense.
But he was virtual.
Yeah, but he was Canada based. So Gafachi and I did some stuff. I was looking for Inshona music. I couldn't find him. So the point that I'm even trying to make is that I made the effort, but at the end of the day, Black Star for me was my interpretation of where I see the future of Ghanaian music. Mm-hmm. Like I had, though a lot of music is Azonto inspired, but it's just the textures and the sonics are changed. And I also feel like we have a lot of musical lineage with Latin America and Brazil. So I wanted to infuse.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
Latin America and Brazil.
Yeah, so Brazil. So when slavery, the slave trade, the door of return, the door of no return at Jamestown.
Yes.
So it leaves our port and it traveled through Portugal and through Brazil. So if you go to Brazil, there's a huge Afro-Brazilian community. And I will bet you most of them are descendants of Nigerians and Ghanaians. So they also practice similar religious, traditional, African traditional religion to Nigeria. So they have the same deities, Oshun, all of that.
Oh.
So yes.
Okay.
So there's a whole lineage that traces back. And if you go into those spaces, like if you're traveling on the water in Portugal, the ports, the shipping ports look the same exactly as in Jamestown because they were built by the Portuguese.
You know, this takes me back to when you were on Cocktails and Takeaways and you were explaining why Ghanaians love egg. And I remember thinking that, why does she know this in so much detail? And it was true.
Yeah.
Like, I've also asked around. It's like, you know,
I still, that's
you
what my grandmother told me.
You are like down YouTube rabbit holes.
No, I love research. I love the concept of research. I like to read. I like to know. But also when I asked that's what my grandma told me. But when I said it on Twitter, they said I was lying. When I said it on Madame Joyce's podcast.
They said you were lying?
Yeah, they said that that it's not true. And
what were they saying was the actual reason for the egg?
They said there's no reason, but the reason that I'm saying is not the real reason.
I know it was because it was a cheap source of protein.
Yeah,
that's that I know.
Yeah, because it's like back then, I think Christmas is when you eat chicken.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then like your the meat is for your dad. Because
and all these things that we eat on a daily basis is actually something that was like a rarity.
Back then. Yeah, I remember like, where did you live?
Dansoman.
Do you remember Debbie's?
No, I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Hey, Debbie's had, Debbie's like maybe 98, 99, 2000 had their best fried rice and beef sauce.
Wow.
Yeah, Debbie's.
I do not know about them.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah, Debbie's had the best.
Okay. So in talking about the album, you told Paper Magazine that whenever that you have come to Ghana to perform, you feel like your audience... Oh no, where do you think I'm going with this?
I'm wondering where you're going with this.
No, you say you feel like a poster child for like all the weird type kids and everything. Yeah. And what are your thoughts on the fact that that is the audience that you draw?
Mm-hmm.
And knowing that, do you feel beholden to them in any type of way?
Yeah, I love it. Like, that's the whole point of what I do.
Mm.
Because I really remember when I first started making music, like, and I used to go to studios. My memory. Maybe let's say 2012, 2013, 2014.
Back when you were a rapper.
Yeah, exactly. Back when I was a rapper. And they will always be like, nah, Charlie, like, you've changed your style. Like, Ghanaian audience will never accept it. And I was like, first of all, there's a whole world and a whole future out there. Who are you to tell me what I should do and who I should make music for? I knew there was a niche audience because 2015 was when Alter started to become a thing in like Ghana and Nigeria. So I'm like, there's a market for this. This is the kind of music that I know that if I make, I'll feel happy in myself.
Right.
I feel like you shouldn't do things that don't agree with your spirit because it's either you become a drug addict because like, yeah, because you don't feel well in your spirit or you won't go far. Okay. Because if your heart is in something, you can't sell it. You get what I'm saying? So me, I knew I could sell Alter. So that's, I said, let me just focus. And lo and behold, like, you know, it's taking me to where it's taking me. But I also feel like I could see a vision for music and African music specifically, where we were going to evolve far past what we were experiencing at the time. And I took a risk. And I'm so glad that my audience are people who want to be seen because we were an underserved community, in my opinion.
Definitely. For me, I want to go back to that moment where you are rapping, which by the way, I think you still have it.
Oh, period.
And did you always know that you could sing? Or like, what was that moment where it's like, okay, I'm going from this rap thing and I'm going to represent an Alter and I'm going to use my voice in a different way?
I was actually just telling my little sister this because she was telling me she can't sing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that when you can't sing, right, and you want to sing, so you try and find a way to sing, that's when you have a more unique voice because you have no template. So you're not trying to sound like Beyonce or you're not trying to sound like Madonna or you're not trying to sound like whoever. Whatever is coming out of you is whatever is coming out of you. So I used to do this thing where my voice could sound like auto-tune, but I used to do it like maybe I'll rap, then I'll throw some small singing bars.
Mm.
And my cousin, Dex Kwesi, Dex Kwesi is my cousin, so he taught me how to use Ableton, that's Logic. Crazy. He taught me how to shoot and edit music videos.
Because I also heard that Kojay Radical is your cousin.
Yeah, Kojay Radical and Kojo Q is our cousin as well. So all of us are cousins.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. They're like, oh, it makes sense.
Yeah. I discovered Kojay like recently. I think on my trip from Toronto to Ghana, I was watching one of these shows on the UK. And he was on this show. I've forgotten what it's called, but it's like you have to defend a lie or something like that.
Okay.
I forget what it's called. Mm-hmm. But anyway, yeah, that's how I discovered Kojay. Mm-hmm. And then he was on, I think, Jackie's album or something.
I didn't know.
Oh my God, I hope I'm right.
No, you're probably right.
Yeah, but anyway, and the question about you feeling beholden to them, I've also seen among the community that really, really like, you know, is behind you, a lot of people have commentary on, you know, how you show up for Ghana and, you know, I just want to understand what your thoughts are on that. And then we are going to start with this.
Are you talking about the Stop Galamsey thing?
Yeah. Like, you know, basically how you show up for and speak when it comes to speaking on like those issues.
Can I say something?
Oh, yes, please.
This is my personal thoughts, right? Mm. There's actually so much that me personally, I feel like I do behind the scenes with regards to actual work that serves the community. Like, for example, because I don't think it was publicized, when Vice President Kamala Harris came came out to Ghana, mm-hmm. and it was like myself, Blacko, Idris Elba, the Mass DJ, and we were all basically coming to advocate for investment into the creative industry and space in Ghana, right? And this was something that I've lobbied for and moved for behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying? And it goes past just that. It's happened in so many different spaces that I've been in. Mm-hmm. But outside of that, when it comes to matters of politics, if you remember back, when I was like fresh on Twitter, mm-hmm. nobody used to speak out against things like political issues than me. But every time they'd be like, Amare, shut up. So, you know, it got to a point where I'm like, you know what? You guys are actually right. Because every time I stand up for the community or stand up for Ghanaians in general, mm-hmm. they'd be like, you dada be like, shut up. So I'm like, you know what? Yeah. So let me actually just chill. And let me let the people who are born, like meant to handle this type of stuff happen. Mm. But I feel like with the Stop Galamse, Occupy Julobi, stuff like that, sometimes when you lend a voice right online, where does it go from there? Mm. Like, what can we actually do as a community to move the conversation for it? Because me tweeting is not going to do that much for the cause. But it's like,
I think the idea too is also like engagement and reach because mm-hmm. of the audience that you have, mm-hmm. the numbers that you have. So it's like you're also bringing kind of like awareness.
Awareness.
You know.
I have a question. Okay, so in bringing... We're having a conversation. Yeah, yeah. In bringing awareness, right?
Yeah.
How many times have you seen awareness, especially with regards to issues that we go on here and deal with here in Ghana, really solve something? Like when we speak on our political issues, whether it's Occupy Julobi House or whether it's Stop Galamse, people don't mind us. But that dirty December come right now. That's when everybody is like, yeah, we are in the city. So I feel like it's a complete social responsibility on not just artists, not just creatives, but the society as a whole. And also those who come into our country and into our space and patronize the spaces when it's time for enjoyment. I think as a whole, as a community, we need to do better. And I think that we also have to hold our leaders accountable. But we also need people who lobby and speak to our leaders for us on our behalf. Like, we have no creative kind of like boards or creative communities that go and lobby with, you know, our leaders or our politicians on our behalf and say, these are the issues that our people are facing. How do we move forward? How do we start a conversation so that they know that they are being heard and they are being listened to and actions and things are being done to move forward? To me, if we can't do that, if we can't come together to do that, then where do we really go from there? So I agree with you on the awareness, and I can say that maybe I made a mistake in, I should have said, okay, let me lend my voice to create awareness. But I should have also asked the question, okay, guys, once I'm lending awareness, where What's are we going step? From here? Mm. So that we can, so we don't have to come back and do this again. Because it's something that continuously happens and happens and happens. And for me, I'll be the first to say, like, we need to lead and create a creative board of artists, musicians, painters, creatives, fashion, whatever. And we need to, I think, elect some leaders who go and liaise on our behalf with our leaders so that we can start to actually see change.
Mm. I mean, I feel like there are so many boards and things that are responsible for that. But you know what? If we go down there, I'm not going to get to this album.
No,
I just really wanted your thoughts on that. And what I'm hearing is awareness alone is not enough. It's like, you bring awareness, but we also need actionable steps. And
we need actionable items. And we need people, I think, who are good lobbyists, but also creatives that understand the space and understand the needs. I feel really disheartened by how I feel like the creative industry here is not moving forward. And I think it's because we don't have kind of leaders in place that can facilitate conversations that will bring more investment into this space, because there's so many talents that are going to waste. And like, it's breaking my heart. My little brother told me yesterday that they sacked his arts teacher and they don't have a music teacher in their school. And I said, are you serious? He was like, yeah, they don't take the arts seriously. And I'm like, hey,
That's always been a problem.
Yeah,
here,
but
you know?
Do you know how many, just the arts program in my school that I went to, like 2009 to 2012,
mm-hmm.
the girl who designed the cover of the Angel You Don't Know, Nia Han, I went to school with her. Do you get what I'm saying? Atso Kojo, mm-hmm, and I have mm-hmm. done so many collaborations. Atso is just my friend that one day DM'd me when I released my first mixtape in 2011. So So it's important. These programs are important.
True, true, true. All true. But now I want to talk about Stuck Up.
Yeah.
I think that if you get this song into Jamestown, you will have a hit on your hands.
You know, can somebody please beg Shatta Wale in Jesus' name? Like,
to jump on this song?
Yeah. And let's spoil there one time.
You know, like, Shatta Wale, what's up? These dance videos of like the people in Jamestown at funerals and stuff like that. Have you ever seen them? And then there's somebody that's like doing a call and response.
Nah.
Oh,
Do you know, can you send me a video? Because I can use that as inspo. I would totally be going into like reworking the song.
When I listen to it, I hear the gamashi in the back.
Thank you. This is why I tried to explain.
It's in the back. It's crazy because, you know, like when the whole argument came about like the album not being Ghanaian enough, aside the features where like the album wasn't Ghanaian enough, I was like, when I listened to it, there were so many moments where I was like, okay, I don't agree with this. Like, yeah. This is the Ghana moment for me. And this is one of it. From 1 minute, 30 seconds, they're going to fight. And I don't like that it ends so quickly.
At the end of the day, I didn't have anything else to say, so I was done.
Because it's like a setup for a drop, and then it's done. Why are the songs short?
Do you know what? I think...
for a dance record like this.
Because I wanted to give space to remixes to create new and whole versions. I didn't want to complete the thoughts or complete the songs myself. So it's like, this is what I have to say. This is how far I have to take it. As a dance project, let's leave room for the remixes to come and extend the conversation. So Afrolectra has a really sick...
I love him so much.
I reached out to him and he did a crazy remix of Kiss Me Through the Phone. Kiss Me Through the Phone is like 4 minutes. Afrolectra's version is like 7 minutes. He did a...
Where is that out?
No, not yet. It's cut. Well... I just leaked that.
Oh, exclusive.
He's going to be closing out the DJ set on my show on January 6th as well.
By the time this comes out, the show's probably happened.
So he's going to be closing that out as well. And then he has a remix of Fine Shit that's really dope as well.
Okay.
So even in my mind, as I'm sitting like in Ghana now, I'm just trying to see like, who can I connect with to really reimagine these songs. For the Gen Pop once again. Allegedly, they didn't understand it.
But her body looks different. I love the prescription. It's such a bar for me.
Thank you.
I was like, okay, clock it. Starkiller.
Yes.
Ever since I heard the song, I like randomly just go, I'll be like, yeah, freaky, freaky. I'm like, I really love this song. I think one of the interviews that you did, was it Associated Press? And they were asking you about like, what goes into making the music. And you said you're just trying to recreate the feeling that you had when you used to listen to some of your favorites, D'Angelo, Janet, Gwen Stefani. And so I'm like, what were you trying to recreate with Starkiller?
When I was 13 and I lived in this same Bud Lake, New Jersey, there's an actual song. It's called Discoteca by DJ Starkiller. The DJ, he's called Starkillers.
Okay.
So that's what the song is named after. And in the song, it goes, in this discoteca, these beats can make you wetter. I have the sex you want. I have the sex to flaunt. I rock my body hard in this place to be. So that's a song that I've liked since I was 13 years old. So when it came time to do it, I was like, let me just call Bree Runway and let's imagine this song that was a club classic for me at 13. And let me like contextualize it in a way that I think will be cool for this generation, but also cool for my culture. And that to me is like the fusion of like a techno kind of dubstep song that I heard back then and bringing it now to like the future of Ghana and having like a hip hop element to it with the Ketamine, Coke and Molly and like the kind of rap. Yeah, Starkiller is like...
You told me that, in another interview, you said that was your mother's favorite part of the song.
Yeah.
Does she know what she's singing about?
No, she does. I was so shocked because... when I started working on the album, typically, like, you send your team, because we traveled to Brazil. So, obviously, they, like, we paid for you to go to Brazil.
With Janelle Monáe. We're going to talk about that.
They're like, we paid for you to go to Brazil. So, did you bring back the products that we paid for you to go and create? So, obviously, you send links to stuff that you worked on. And I think I had B2B Stuck Up, like, an early version that was barely unfinished. Kiss Me Through the Phone and Starkiller. And my mom was like, oh, I love this song. And she was sweet and she was texting me, can it be Coke and Molly? I was like, oh. I was like, So I was like, hey, so cool. Like, crazy. You know, so anyway. But yeah, so I was surprised. And I asked her, I was like, ah, do you know what that is? And she was like, yeah, of course. Well, I was like, okay,
hey,
cool.
Mommy's here.
Anyway, yeah, Charlie, we are making the money. So how you gonna do them?
All right. So for this song, right, I was calling it MS360.
Oh, Miss 360.
And I heard somebody say Miss 360.
Yeah, Miss 60.
What is it?
Miss 60
it's
is
not
a,
MS.
No, Miss. Okay. Miss 60.
So I'm wrong. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What's the name? I don't understand.
Miss 60 is, it's like a old brand. Well, Miss 60 has kind of had a revamp now, but they were a really sick denim brand back when I was like, I was even young. I was too young to afford Miss 60, but they always had the sexiest and coolest ad campaigns. Like, I always wanted to be in a Miss 60 ad campaign, or I always wanted to be created.
So, like, fashion,
Naomi Campbell, I get it. Nigga, I don't just be doing shit for no reason. Like, okay.
Because people are talking about, like, let's see, all of these, like, oh, you didn't put Ghanaian, whatever. If you were going to pick a Ghanaian, that would take on that same role that part of Naomi did. Who do you imagine?
Miss Bell.
I can see it. Would you make her say the same thing?
Hey, but do you remember Miss Bell?
I remember Miss Bell.
I feel like Miss Bell can take it like even raunchier than
I know.
Like Naomi was like, I'm a legend, so let's keep it. Because Naomi made me, we went crazy. Like, we even threw in some disses to some of her upset things.
Oh, and she was stripping it back.
Yeah,
down.
And she said, nah, she said, cancel this, cancel that. And some of the ups disses, we had to retweak it. So if you listen carefully, there's an ups reference in there.
Oh, wow. And
yeah, there's an ups reference in there. So you guys listen.
Who has these tapes on the cutting room floor? The stuff that was
I actually have them.
Tell me about Naomi being carried in by her bodyguard.
Oh, my God. Naomi Campbell is so great. So first of all, we waited for her at the studio for like 3 hours, which I'm like, normal, Naomi Campbell, dear, you just sit and you wait. But what I wasn't expecting was she comes in and her bodyguard, some big guy, is carrying her on his back. So I'm like, and she's like, oh, you know, my sciatica is acting up, da da da. But she's like, I had to make it. So I'm like, you know, even the fact that your sciatica was acting up.
And you're still here.
Yeah, she has two kids at home. She is still here. She's like, I had to do it. This is iconic. I said, period. Like,
the
Naomi Campbell. Yeah. but yeah, she was carried in and out on her bodyguard's back. But that's a woman that truly knows how to sell a story and tell a story, because that was a moment.
She was wearing shades, right?
Yes, on the back. exactly. Shades on the back, hair done. Diva down.
Okay, kiss me through the phone. Had me in a tizzy because I am obsessed with the Thong Song.
Oh, me too.
And I just feel like I want to thank you because you know how you're talking about music makes you feel a certain way.
Yeah.
Every time I hear the song and the Thong Song reference plays, I remember this like jams that I went
Who's
to
that
in
dress
GX.
From Scandal?
Yes.
And just the feeling. Thong Song.
Like,
hey.
No.
Hey, Cisco, really unleash the dragon really album. Stuff,
Cisco, what a time, right?
Hey.
So how much of you picking artists is your A&R and how much of it is I want to work with this person?
I A&R'd that whole album.
you?
Yeah, okay. I got all the feet. Pink was my homegirl. We have the same, we had the same engineer. So Ooh. that was how it happened. Mm-hmm. Vicky and I had been talking for a while. She wanted to do a co-star remix when I was working on the deluxe for Fountain Baby, but she was on tour. Mm-hmm. So when I finally got this, I was like, yo, Vicky, I think you would be so fly on like hyper pop Thong Song. And she was like, fuck it, let's do it.
Why did you pick Panthers this song?
Man, Pink Panther is one of my favorite artists currently of our generation. One of.
Okay.
And also to me, one of the producers I respect the most. Mm-hmm. I've always been thinking of, we linked up in 2019. Mm-hmm. Like, and we've been going back and forth about doing a record. So now for almost 5 years, 6 years. So, no, it was 2020, I'm sorry, or 2021, actually. Maybe I misquoted.
Back then.
So, I love her music. So I've always wanted to do something with her. Putting her on the Thong Song for me, if you have met her, she's super quirky and like really smart and odd. So I just thought, what cooler thing to do than to put the most unexpected person on a interpolation of thong song. Mm. I like unique kind of collaborations and unique connections in that way. And to me, I just thought this would just be the coolest thing ever.
It worked for me. Yeah. I think it worked for me.
Yeah, I built the soundscape solely around Pink's vocal and how she makes her music as well, too.
So. True, because when her part comes in, it sounds like a Pink Panther song.
Yeah.
At least to me. All right, so there's a dance break in B2B.
Yeah.
that sounds like it was made for a lip sync battle on Drag Race.
Oh. Wait, is that a diss?
It means like some queens will do some fierce stuff to it.
Yeah, that's the whole point of the album. The queens are supposed to do some fierce stuff to it.
Yeah, it really, really was. Whose idea was it to put that Spanish guitar there?
Me.
Oh my God. When it comes on, it's just like so nice. And then you come with your like little... By the way, I'm very bad with lyrics.
Okay? Yeah,
but
don't worry.
That part where you're like,
I kind of love Kiss Codeine. Mm-hmm. Never done shit for me, my heart. Brought me on tin, I'm genie. Hey, now you can wish on me, my heart. This is not a kiss. Yeah.
I love it.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, that was sampling. It's a Toni Braxton song called Maybe. And it's another song that I love.
The guitar?
Yeah. It's from Toni Braxton's Maybe. But so what we did was, I was like, instead of going the typical route and sampling the guitar, let's actually take it and once again create a hyper-pop soundscape. So like the first part of B2B still has a Toni Braxton interpolation. But I think we were working on the record and then I had someone replay the guitars and I was like, yo, what would happen if we threw the guitars into after this dance break? It's so unexpected.
Right?
It's like
you go from dun, 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 dun,
to like,
dun, dun, dun.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It was really great. You said making She's My Drug was the most fun you've had.
Yeah.
Really? Over all the other songs on this record?
She's My Drug. What happened on She's My... Was it She's My Drug or was it... We had so much fun making this person. So I'm really trying to remember.
In one of the interviews, you were like, She's My Drug, which is one of my favorite songs that I've made.
Starkiller is one of my favorite songs. She's My Drug, I think, was fun because... it's a share interpolation.
Of course.
You believe in love?
Which is one of the things that I was like, oh, this is very Ghanaian, because you know what it reminds me of? The advertising cycle. They played the hell out of this
Thank
song.
You. When I did interviews, I was like, yo, Belief is big in Ghana.
It's
and you
big
people
in Ghana.
Don't
this
know.
Is, I know this song. No
like,
matter how hard I try.
So thank you. No, you know, I'm actually so glad that someone is understanding what I was doing on this project.
Instead, I was like, I'm already watched advertising cycle at some point.
Belief was like back to...
People are like, they don't know it back here?
No. When I was doing interviews, I was like... The way that I came into contact with Belief was when I was living as a youth in Ghana. And
yes,
they used to play advertisements as a youth. Yeah, that was when I was a youth. And they used to play it on advertisements nonstop.
Yes,
and also like some of the music channels.
Yeah.
So Belief to me was like a bit of a staple because we heard it all the time. And when I was telling interviewers that, they were like, no. I'm like, yeah.
That's crazy.
So me, the interpolation was from my experience as a youth, like hearing Belief over and over and over and over again. Oh, Joseph, you've really done well. Like, you came really recent. I feel so vindicated because I feel like people try to make me seem crazy. Like, I just made some random shit that I
not
didn't think about.
Not on Sincerely Accra, not
period.
On this show.
Period. I feel so vindicated.
Did Cher hear the song?
Cher hasn't heard it yet. I was supposed to go to her. I was going to try to get her to sing the Do You Believe in Love on the Drug. So my manager is friends with her manager.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I know. That would have been so fire. But I wasn't able to do it. I was supposed to go to her concert and meet her and play the song for her.
Even just for a photo op, do stuff.
No, I know. I need to
Because you know
see
how you like
diva.
Wearing black? She likes wearing black.
Yes, I need
You'll
to see my
You'll have your 40-inch wigs, bust down.
I was even surprised they cleared the sample. I was like, there's no way Cher is going to clear this. And that was the one.
She liked how it sounded, I'm sure.
Because honestly, the song, I love that song. And I think it's so unexpected. Do You Believe in Love off the Drugs? That's so much fun, you know.
So much fun.
A shout out to Cher, man.
Talk about songs that I love. This is one of my favorites, Girly Pop.
Mm.
And apparently, this song is supposed to evoke the feeling of kissing the love of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Allegedly.
Oh, okay. Do you know what it makes me want to do? Titty bounce.
What's titty bounce? Ah, okay.
Pop, pop, pop. Like everything.
Oh, yeah. I never considered that.
Pop. That's all.
Oh,
I'm like,
God. You know, I'm gonna start to debounce it. Yeah. I'm going to do a TikTok.
Yeah.
No, that might make it go viral. Literally, let me. I'm going to wear like some.
Cut me a check, girl.
No. I'm going to wear the sluttiest shirt I have and go.
Oil it.
Yeah, and oil then, down. Yes. Viral. We need to hire you on socials.
Oh, yeah. Hey. Yeah. They have my number here. But what does it mean? I want you to take me from the top.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean?
I want you to take me from the top.
My raspy voice.
So if you think about from head to toe,
yeah,
the top starts. So it goes, I want you to take me from the top. Kiss me till I tell you, make it soft. So if you think about from the bottom, the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, the first interaction point, contact point is a kiss on the lips.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, it depends. If you're a forehead kind of person, you're going to start there.
So we can, a kiss is a kiss. Forehead, so that could be the cheek.
The Guardian calls this album like your most in love or lovey-dovey album as compared to Fountain Baby.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And then I was reading what you told Paper Magazines on your Instagram.
What did I say?
You were saying something about how like the music you're making now is because you have been able to find love.
Yeah.
Do you think that being in love changes the kind of records that you put out or even how you talk about the same subject matter?
Absolutely.
Because on Fountain Baby was given a lot of streets.
No.
It was given street rough out here.
Yeah, hey. Eesh.
And now you're just like talking about,
I was really in the trenches. Oh, God. Never again.
So you do agree that it changes how you...
Absolutely. I feel like the songs on Fountain Baby seem like venomous and angry. And a little also like Take Me Out the Street, desperation. It reeked of desperation. But I feel like when you get to Black Star, it feels like a little bit of like this is easy.
There's like a clear subject of your like affection in different formats.
Yeah.
Because for example, like you're talking to somebody on Slap Me Out at this point, right?
Yeah.
And shout out to the whole Steve Klein, Tom Ford reference with Yvette and the, which by the way, Tyler also did in Push to Start. Have you seen the Push to Start video?
No, which one?
You know what you're doing with Yvette's, the cleaner.
The buff butt?
Yeah, the buff butt.
You have to show me the... Literally, you mean something with my body with no hair?
Yeah, the beginning of the video.
She did the Beyonce one.
She has so many references in the video.
I didn't know.
There's a girl on like, I think a yellow car or something.
Can somebody show me this? I actually didn't know.
Look it up. Push to Start.
Something with my body with no hesitation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have I watched the video?
I feel like you have, but you haven't caught that part. But it's in there.
Okay.
And with Slap Me Out, Yvette, by the way, incredible dancer.
Insane.
I saw her at Open for Black O. She has this song, Call Consent. And she was giving choreo down.
Yvette is hard. She might be Ghana's salvation. You people, watch out for Yvette.
I really hope she does blow.
And like, I like her music because it's like, Miss Bell mixed with Easy, but like futuristic, and like she's on the stage giving it, and she's sexy as fuck. Chocolates.
She knows how to work it. Yeah,
I love Yvette.
But I feel like over there, I caught a reference: Kanye West, Fade, Tiana Taylor, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay,
yeah.
How was it like shooting that video? It was really interesting.
It was a lot of fun. It was stressful on the day just because it was like the sun wasn't shining. There was a lot happening with Ghana. We were running late. Mm. But it was fun though. That was my favorite music video. Like to me, that's one of the iconic Amare visuals for sure. Yeah.
You look like you could be a drug lord on Power.
Ooh,
you know that scene?
Yeah.
Because the hair was bigger and it was like... Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah,
dun,
I love
dun.
It.
Do you know this song? Sounds like it could be the soundtrack for a new Blade movie.
But they canceled the Blade movie, y'all.
Oh, I don't.
Because if they are still shooting it, I'm actually going to pitch SMO for the intro.
You should.
Yeah.
Who do you think could play Wesley Snipes' role? Which black actor right now?
Right now.
Yeah. Because I'll tell you, Ashton Sanders from
who's that? Who? It seems he's dark.
He's dark, and he was the teenage version of the guy in Moonlight.
I think
he has
I
a
know
very me. Fierce face.
I think. Can someone pull up a picture of Ashton Sanders? I think I know who you are talking about.
I have it. Hold on. I will pull it up.
He's not the one that played the older version in Moonlight.
No. That
he
is...
Because the one I'm thinking, his face is kind of soft and hard.
For who has she standard is?
No, the one that I'm thinking of. So I don't know if that's the one.
Oh my God, this internet.
Like, he has soft eyes but hard features. Uh-huh. So I don't know if that's Ashton Sanders.
But do you have a personal pick?
Like, right now.
Oh, that's him. Okay. Oh. Right?
Do you know what? That's not who I was thinking about, but actually, yeah. But is he a good actor?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah?
He killed him.
I know, yeah. He's the one whose face is on the cover.
Yes. No, well, yeah. It's the three split thing.
Oh, do you know what? Yeah, I can see him. Play. I can actually see him in all black. But he has to get some muscles first.
You think so? Because in rethinking the role,
they shouldn't rethink. That's where we always run into problems. Rethought, reimagine, redesign. Either do it or we don't want to see a skinny Blade. That's not sexy.
Okay, there goes my suggestion. Apparently, Naomi played Slap Me Out for Mick Jagger.
Yes, she did. The video.
How do you feel about that?
I thought that was so incredible. And she was like, I showed it to Mick. He was like, yeah, I know her. I was like, oh, period. Yeah, she was like, I was shocked. I was like, me too. Yeah, incredible. But Mick Jagger is tapped in, though.
Really?
Yeah, super tapped in.
Have you met him?
No, but I'd love to.
That would be cool if you get him on something.
That would be so fire.
This is about fine shit. This song also ends abruptly.
Really?
I think.
This song is like 4 minutes.
It could be six. Oh,
and then I don't know what you people want me to do again. Because this one, Fine Shit, is a very long song.
Yeah?
Yeah. And it has like a lot of, I feel like, very subtle switch changes throughout the record.
Yeah. Does this have the most changes?
No, SMO does.
Okay, true. But there's this Fun Ice advert.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Let me see if I can find. There's this Fun Ice advert that this track reminds me of so much. We'll probably cut out the audio because of copyright. Okay, the internet is doing this thing. But yeah, the way it's... I don't have the internet.
Is that dun 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 dun? Yeah, now that you said it.
Every time.
Kind of, yeah.
So for me, I'm like, these are the things. I'm like, this is great.
That one, I didn't clock it. But that might have been subconscious.
Yeah, it was in there. That was in there. Okay, so do your friend? I'm talking about Dove Cameron now. Do your friends really call you Fountain?
Yeah, most do.
Really?
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people call me Fountain Baby for sure. That's like, I don't know. That was like the one nickname that really stuck.
From the last era.
Yeah, for sure. Like, people still call me Fountain Baby to this day. Yeah.
I feel like you're really in your rap bag on this one. Don't you think?
I've always wanted to do a project that leaned heavier on rap. And like, for once, I feel like I really satisfied that edge.
Yeah, it was good. It's so interesting because I read a review somewhere that was saying that there's not as much depth in the writing on this project as opposed to
some white guy, the bold one.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yes. And I was like, I'm sorry. Dove Cameron really does take it there for me in terms of like just... You are very braggadocious on like the hip hop leaning tracks on this, which is what hip hop is supposed to do.
Yeah.
And so I don't know, maybe I feel like people think when it comes to depth of writing, it's because maybe you are exploring one subject matter, you are talking deeply about it, but like the kind of flows, the cadences, the
bars landed to me way more crystal clear than in Found Baby. Like in Found Baby, I think I felt like there was a lot of innuendo. For Black Star, I feel like everything kind of hit. Like, if I fuck a bitch in the truck, did I put a 10 in a coma? Did I put a bull in a dozer? Did I put a cat in a doja? Like, how did you get me so high? Like,
yes,
come on.
Yes.
To me, that was just racism.
It's like,
fuck off.
It's like when they posted about the Sinners movie and then the budget thing.
I dislike stupidity, like, in a different kind of way. And to me, if I'm doing something that's more hip-hop leaning and the lyrics are more braggadocious, there's so much... The lyrics, to me, and on Black Star are super, super layered. Like, B2B in and of itself, as a song, is talking about sex. Mm-hmm. But it goes, I've been into you. I like what we do. Now come into me. See my point of view. B2B, bye to bye. Fuck on me, fuck you back. I unleash you, attach... there's times when I'm perking and wavy and need to let go.
I love the
There's part. Ways we can turn and persuade it. I'm giving you some. I've been like, I wrote the record with Mesu, so I know how much effort we put into the writing. But I think that we want it to be much more simple and clear in our execution. And if simple and clear to a person reads as a lack of depth, then I think that they're entitled to their opinion.
Mm.
But I disagree, respectfully, cool. though.
Yeah, because also it's like there's also the context of what the project represents. And so I feel like there should be different measuring skills, yeah. especially for Black Star. You've spoken about that so many times. I don't know how you came up with this, but pass her the vanity.
She about to play it, serving her face, going through phases. Yeah. I didn't write that one. Mesu wrote that one.
Okay,
so shout
cold
out
way
to Mesu.
Start.
Yeah.
Cold way to start.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, I really like this song. I like it serves as a sort of a break in the flow.
Yeah.
And then Charlie Wilson.
So far.
It's all about you.
Oh, you really listen to the album more. Like,
baby.
You try.
Because Charlie Wilson, ever since I heard Charlie Wilson, I didn't know him. When I hit him on Signs, Snoop Dogg. Oh,
yes.
I'm not gonna
what you see. What you telling me this is a sign.
That's then it comes.
Oh, no, Charlie.
So when he started singing, I was like, I know this voice. And then I looked, I was like, Charlie Wilson.
Everyone was surprised we actually got him to do it. Like, even the label was like, you got Charlie to do it. I was like, yeah. Shout out to Rika, Babyface's wife and manager. She hooked that up.
Okay. Yeah, because I know you work with Babyface on Fountain.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Wow, I want to see your contacts. Scroll through it, especially under B.
No, I don't have Beyonce's number. That's why you're asking. That's the only one that has Beyonce call me, okay?
By the end of this year.
Hey, from
you
your
know
mom's
what would be
brothers.
Crazy? You know a lot of people are speculating that she's doing a rock album for the third one.
Really?
And I know the NDAs in that place is very tight.
Mad.
So Amare could have very well recorded like two songs.
Oh,
and
wow.
She's sitting here playing it off.
No. Beyonce, call me.
I spoke to the UCB, so I know how the game goes.
And Beyonce, you know, call me.
When
call
the projects
me.
Come, then all of you magically come and say, it was so much fun working on this. It's
no,
cool.
No, Beyonce should be. No, me, mom, yeah, I would love for Beyonce to call me.
Yeah, I can see what you can do on that. So this choir that you put on, is it 100 drum?
Yeah, 100 drum, yeah.
This, because I hear you talk about trance and the, like the sounds and all that. This put me in a trance.
Yes,
yeah.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. Wait, where did you get the idea to do that?
So I had done the record 100 drums and I remember I was listening to the instrumental and I was like, yo, this feels like Pan Logo, but futuristic, like Pan Logo. And I was like thinking about, I've always wanted to do a record with Daughters of Glorious Jesus. So I was trying to get them to sing that part, but ooh. They were, yo, Charlie, but I think, well, first they were hard to track down. And I didn't really have time.
Girl, they always go to the VGMAs. You could have asked somebody.
No, I said the VGMAs. We know how it all happened last year.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Are you in their bad books?
No, I'm not. They
are your bad books.
Hey. No. It's like, we had a bit of a misunderstanding from the last show. But it's all love. It's all love. Sure. There's not really that deep, to be honest. But I've wanted Daughters of Glorious Jesus because I've been waiting to do a track with them. And I think my mom was trying to get in touch with them, but I don't know. Something happened and there was a lack of, we didn't get all the way there for a conversation or a phone call. So I was like, I still want to have a choir on this. So I hummed the melody and I sent a voice note to Mike Mills. Because Mike Mills used to be a choir director. Like, Mike Mills comes from a gospel background. A lot of people don't know it. So I hummed, So I hummed the whole thing. And I was like, Mike, I want to intrigue. And I gave him a breakdown. Like, I want to talk about this. And I told him the line. I want to say something like, I love you in, like, the way I love God. So I gave him a breakdown. And he came back, like, the next day. And he had written the whole thing.
Oh, he wrote the three parts?
Yeah, Mike Mills wrote the whole three parts. Mike Mills is a crazy, like, songwriter. So then he got Musical Lunatics to come in and co-direct the choir part with him. But that's how it happened.
Oof. I don't know, man. That is one record that I'm like, did people even listen to this point? Because it also takes a while for me to realize that it's true.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I hear, oh, I love that song so much.
Yeah, that's
is this song, you know, there's a certain vulnerability that you're showing on this song. Because you're literally telling somebody that you love that, look, you're trusting them. Are you going to break my heart, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And we haven't seen that level of vulnerability, at least for me. Okay, Fountain Baby was like here or there, but Passion Fruit Summers, I would say back then, there was a lot of vulnerability.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Have you been hiding it or?
I think sometimes artistically, if you're not in that space, it's hard to get into that space. Mm. Like, I just didn't feel like I wanted to be very vulnerable in Fountain Baby because I don't think I felt like I could trust my environment at the time. Mm. But with Black Star, especially for, like, a song like 100 Drum, I think it really, it even goes past romantic relationships, like, towards the end where it goes, black out the window, it helps, I'm whipping this whip like a belt, you bitches is demon for real, I'm looking forward to seeing you fail, I'm looking forward to gapping our wealth, I can't be feeling a feeling I felt, I've been resulting to feeling aware, I want to escort some of you bitches to hell. You know, like it's past just like, it's honestly past just how do I say, romantic relationships. It's also just about like some of the things that were happening, like losing friendships, losing business relationships. And I feel like that was a moment where I really thought deeply about the impact of relationships and friendships in totality, but also from a love perspective as well. So it was kind of like balancing the two.
Cool, really cool. Yeah, no, I love that song so much. Thank I feel you. Like it's in my top four in no particular order.
Oh, period. Yeah. Okay. But so what's your top four?
My top four. So let me see. Definitely 100 Drum, Slap Me Out, Girly Pop. Okay, I want to say Kiss Me Through the Phone.
Ooh, yeah. That's your top four. Okay, so you like the softer stuff.
I guess.
Yeah.
I guess.
Because the three you mentioned.
No, but Slap Me Out is not that soft.
Yeah. Doom, but is the softest out of like Star Killer, Stuck Up.
Yeah.
And what's the other one? Fine Shit.
Fine Shit. Yeah. Yeah. I think Fine Shit would be like honorable mention. Because of the ton 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 ton. Like, yeah. It does me in. For real, for real. Why is Free the Youth called Free the Youth?
There's a part in the hook that says, day by day by day by day, day by day by day, we pray for nice. Day by day by day by day, I had to get it. I'm taking the wheel. I feel like when I think about the youth of Ghana, day by day, we day inside. Day by day, we pray for night. Day by day by day. Like, when I think about Ghana youth and what we are going through, especially as a youth trying to make a way as the next generation of leaders.
Right.
It genuinely feels like free the youth, like day by day by day, we pray for nights. Day by day by day, we day inside. Day by day by day by day, I had to get it. I'm taking the wheel. I had to get it. Like, fuck how you feel. I feel like that's something that the youth here can truly relate to.
Mm.
And also because free the youth, like
free, definitely.
Yeah, that was like kind of my homage and support of the Gun Brand.
You know, recently, and folks, that brings us to the end of the 13 songs on the project. Like, if you haven't listened, this is like your sign to go and listen and just
I feel like we gave so much context so now people can like
people will be like go and try and catch all these things right. Okay, I just want to talk about before we wrap up, you left the a concert recently, apparently 4-hour delay was everywhere. And no, the reason why I'm saying is that like we've seen a wave of like concerts related issues. This is
December,
things starting late and everything. So I just wanted to know, like, what message are you trying to send?
Oh,
by leaving after 4 hours? Because some would say 4 hours is not anything, given the way we do things here.
Oh, Jesus.
Like how long? Oh, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm saying
you know. I know, but
we've normalized it.
Joseph, but that's the message that I was trying to send, Joseph. Like. This every time I like do something in Ghana, whether it's a show or a performance, I either suffer from extreme time delays or I suffer from a lack of communication with my team. So for example, VGMA, we had to pull out because they didn't respond to our emails asking for the tech rider for like 2 months.
Oh, wow.
So when we got there, nothing that we needed to execute the performance to a certain level of quality was there. So I had to pull out just because I don't want to embarrass myself. So with the Taste of Culture thing, number one, they fought with both of my siblings, Vanessa.
Are we naming names?
Vanessa.
Are we saying
Nah, yeah. Like, Vanessa fought with two of my siblings and Vanessa fought with Bree. Vanessa, Bree will call and be like, oh, and Bree's my assistant. And she'll call and she'll be like, oh, and what time does Ama need to be there? Cat call. What time do you guys need the DJ to be there? Call cut. What time should Ama come? Once again, when, oh, Bree, what did she say? Vanessa, the time that you called her, she was like, when she can. When she can. Ah, call time or when you can. So then we get there and like, I'm chilling. My mom is like, look, chill, just sit down. This is Ghana for you. So you need to get used to it. Mm. And I'm like, fine, I understand. But Charlie, Joe. 12 o'clock by 4 a.m. I haven't gotten on the stage. Are you people first? You told me that Omale then King promised them me, and then you came back and you said Tiwa Savage and Blacko. So I should close the show.
Of Tiwa also complaining that she wanted to
leave. It wasn't just me.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying? But I think that what I'm just trying to say is we have such an incredible opportunity to build a lasting creative economy that benefits everybody. Mm. You know, whether you are a light engineer, whether you are a supplier for staging, for production, whether you are the creative yourself, but we are not able to move far because of a lack of punctuality. Punctuality is a very serious thing that can help kind of direct the pacing of things. And I feel like people don't want to invest in Ghana because sometimes they can't trust the honesty of the people they work with and they can't trust the punctuality. And as they say, time is money. So if we are not able to do things in a
timely way,
in a professional and timely way, we will continue to chase our tails and chase our tails because the investment that we need, the support that we need, will never come from the outside sources that could potentially move our creative economy forward because we lack discipline when it comes to time. And I don't lack discipline when it comes to time. So
I can call you out on that.
Do you know what? When I first stepped on the set, the first thing I did was apologize to all the gentlemen. Okay. And I told them, I was like, I thought you guys were coming late too. So I told them that when you guys got here, I was in bed.
I thought
you guys would give us 3 and you come at 5. So literally I told all the guys, I was like, I'm so sorry.
Okay.
I didn't expect it. And I told them that now that I know how you guys work, next time I'll be punctual.
We're always on time.
But you can ask my mom, you can ask Brie. Everywhere we've gone, really, when you are late, you look yawa. When you are on early, you look yawa.
Exactly.
Everything we've done.
No, it's true. Here, I can completely understand.
We go early to everything and then we sit and we wait for anywhere from 3 to 6 hours. I promise you. So when you guys say you're coming, I was like, 3 o'clock, they're 5. So you came to knock on my door, I think at 2 something.
She treated it like a Ghanaian event.
Yeah, I was like
when they say come at 6.
Yeah.
But
even interviews and stuff, this was the first time we've been like late, honest. Because I was like, so wait there. So moving forward, if we do anything again, I know that you people there, you respect your time. So don't call me out. I'm now getting used to the culture. So the culture did it to me.
My last question to you is from Splendid Isolation to mm-hmm. Black Star. You've gone through different phases, even visually. What has stayed same about Ama? What has stayed same about Ama from Splendid Isolation to Black Star?
My willingness and my hunger to get better every time. Mm. And my genuine love for the art and craft of music has stayed the same.
Okay. Shout out. I guess that's going to be the interview. Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I had a great time. This is my favorite interview so far. Because you helped me give so much context.
2026 is only like 4 days in.
Yeah.
Are you saying your favorite so far this year?
No, not of 2026. Because I'm still counting 2025.
Okay.
Because let's say of the Black Star. Rollout.
Rollout.
Yeah, this was the best one so far. Yeah, okay. For sure.
All right, thank you, Amari. That's been our show. Thanks for coming to Cecilia Crown.
This has been a Gold Coast Report production.